In verse 14 of this passage of Scripture, we read that the Spirit of God departed from Saul. And we read that another spirit comes and begins to trouble him. And he's in a very serious condition. He's in a state of trouble. He's in a place of tremendous need. And he knew it. And the people around him knew it. And they begin to look for some means of alleviating this awful state that he's in. And somebody thinks, well, music is bound to help. We look for someone who is able to play the harp and is able to soothe them by the music that they play. And so the request goes out, who can we get? Who's a skillful harp player that can come and alleviate the trouble that Saul is under? And somebody remembers the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and he begins to describe this young man as to the qualities that he has that would make him a man that is fit to come and to minister to Saul. And he begins to list the different qualities of David. And you can go down them here in verse 18. He says, well, he's a man who is cunning in playing. He's a talented boy. He can play the harp beautifully. And he introduces one of the features of David's life. He is a man of praise. He writes many of the Psalms in the book of Psalms, the book of praises. And he's a man who is known for his musical ability. And then he says he's a mighty, valiant man. He's a man's man. He's like you, Saul. He is a man of courage. You would enjoy having him around. He's a great man of valor. He's not a man with an impressive physique, but he is considered to be a mighty man. And he was a man who was able to fight with the lion and with the bear and to overcome them. And then he says he's a man of war. He's a warrior in Israel. He's a man who knows how to fight. Wasn't that David was a man who was given just to fight at any cause? He wasn't a fighter in that sense. He wasn't aggressive, but he knew to take a stand. He was a man who was trained and qualified in military matters, and he was a man who was zealous for the rights of God and for God's name. And when God's name was dishonored, he was a man who was going to stand up for that. And then the courtier says he's prudent in matters. David was a man who was known for his prudent speech. He's a man of discretion. He's a wise person, a counselor, a man who could speak for God, a man who needed to be listened to. And here are all of these outstanding qualities that he has. And he's a man of good sense, a man of much wisdom. He's not a fool. And then something else that this man says about David. He was a comely person, a man with a good presence, a man who was a good-looking fellow, nice to be around, an enjoyable kind of man to be around. And Saul's courtier could have stopped there, listing all of those things. Here's a mighty list. And maybe some of the things that are said here in this day and generation maybe wouldn't be counted as politically correct. But for 99.9% of the world's history, these are the kind of things that would have been looked for in a man. And these are the kind of things that people valued in a man. But that's not where the courtier stops here. He adds something else that makes all the difference. He says about David, and the Lord is with him. That's the crowning of the blessing that David has in his life. There are many great things that were said about David here, but the greatest of all was that the Lord was with him. And I wonder today, is the Lord with you? You know, you may be talented, and you may be good looking, and you may have all sorts of abilities, and you may have all sorts of advantages in your life. And there may be many things that you could say about yourself that would commend you, or other people would say about you to commend you. They would say you're a friendly person, you're nice to be around, you're a man or a woman of courage, or whatever it may be. But could it be said of you today that the Lord is with you? Do you walk with God day by day? Is the Lord the one that is paramount in your life? The one that you want to be with day by day? Is the Lord with you? That can't certainly be said of you if you're not saved by the grace of God. But I think there's more than that. We can say that the Lord is with us, everyone who is saved by the grace of God. In that sense, we can say that the Lord is with us. He's with us in our hearts day by day. But I think that there's more than that that is indicated by the phrase that the Lord was with David. It indicates that the Lord was with him in a special way. That he's one of these rare people of whom it can be said that the Lord is with them in a special way. Maybe you've been in a meeting and the preacher has been preaching, and the Lord has come down in a special way, and you've known that the Lord is there. The Lord is there. And dear friend, in the midst of all that we need in this day and generation, we need men who are willing to stand and are ready to stand to preach the word of God. But above all things, we need to know that the Lord is with them and that the Lord is with us. And I hope today that it is your desire, child of God, that it can be said of you as you walk day by day, that not only is the Lord with you in your heart, but the Lord is with you as you work and as you labor and as you speak for God and as you minister for Him, that the Lord is with you in that special sense that the Lord is going to come and make a difference. So I want us just to think about this phrase that is said of David, that the Lord was with him. And there are a number of things that I just want you to see about the Lord being with David. And I want you to see, first of all, the context of the Lord's presence, or the Lord's presence. I want you to see that there is a context of despair, first of all. Notice what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 1. It says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I've rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go, and I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided me a king among the sons." Now Samuel here had been a long time in the Lord's service. And as we meet him in 1 Samuel chapter 16, he has been a faithful servant now for many years. But here he is, and he's a deeply worried man. He is a man who's concerned for the nation, and he's concerned for the king. He knows that Saul, what he's been doing, he knows that Saul has failed the Lord, and that he has defied the Lord and disobeyed God. And Saul is sitting on the throne, but he's not following the Lord. And Samuel here is concerned about his land, and he's in anxiety because of what's going to happen. Look at verse 2 of 1 Samuel chapter 16. It says, "And the Lord said unto Samuel, How long wilt thou mourn for Saul?" And he's reminding Saul, or reminding Samuel, that the Lord is in control. Samuel's despairing, and he's worried about the condition of the land. But God says, how long are you going to sit there and be anxious? How long are you going to be in fear for the land and all the rest of it? I am about to work. I'm about to do something. And it's just after this that God sends him to anoint David. And this is the man that the Lord is with. And you know, we can see that the Lord can come in a day of despair. And maybe today you're worried about the condition of the land. We think of what's taking place in Belfast. We think of the onward march of all sorts of legislation that is against the work and the witness of God. and it's coming to a time when it's thought that what is biblical is evil, that which is good is counted as evil, and that which is evil is counted as good. And as we look at the land, we have every cause to be in despair. But you know, that's just the time when God can raise up an individual. You think of the days of before the Reformation, and where there was darkness in Europe, and there was darkness in the land, and there was no real outpouring of the blessing of God upon the land. And yet God, in the midst of that, raised up Luther, and raised up Calvin, and raised up Zwingli. You think of the days at the end of the 18th century, when Tom Paine's book had been published, that was really a liberal agenda of its day, that attacked the work of God and the Word of God. And so many of the intellectuals were running after the teachings of Tom Paine. And then God raised up Wesley and Whitfield and Howell Harris and the rest of those that preached, Jonathan Edwards, that preached in the Great Awakening. You think of our own land way back in the 1920s, when civil war was in danger of civil war. And we think of how there was war down south and fighting. And God raised up W.P. Nicholson in the days of apostasy in the 1950s. And before that, God raised up Dr. Peasley in that time. And God has a way of raising up men that he's with. People that are going to make a difference. People that are going to change the situation. And you know, we might be in despair today, but God is on the throne. God is still in charge today. So there was a context of despair, but there was also a context of difficulty. We're told that the Lord was with David, but that didn't mean that there wasn't going to be difficulty for David. You think of how he was counted the least in his family, and how he was sent out to look after the sheep. We think of how all Israel was fleeing from Goliath, and God sent out this little boy, or this youth as it were, not a little boy, but a young man who went out to fight against the giant. How that later on Saul was going to hound David up and down the land and to search for him, try to put him to death. And because we can say that the Lord is with us, doesn't mean that there's not going to be difficulties and there's not going to be trials along the course of life. The Lord said, in this world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And we don't take it as a sign because we're in difficulties. We're not taking it as a sign because things are hard today that the Lord's not with us. Because the Lord was with David, even in the midst of the difficulties. And even though he had to flee from his home, and even though he had to dwell in caves, and even though he had to dwell for a time with the enemy, the Lord was with him. And difficulties and trials doesn't mean the Lord's not with us. There's also not only the context of despair and difficulty, but I want you to see the context of disappointment, because even though the Lord was with David, didn't mean that David didn't flee or didn't feel. Now, I'm not saying that the Lord was with David in the days when he did feel. I'm not saying that. When David failed, you read the Psalms and how he cries out, Lord, where are you? And because he sinned, the Lord was not with him in those days. But I want you to see that even when he failed, even though he failed, the Lord was still with him after that. You think of Peter, and Peter failed the Lord. Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses. And yet God took Peter and was able to use Peter and was able to use him in the day of Pentecost. And the Lord was with him. And because you feel, child of God, and because you've done things, child of God, doesn't mean that the Lord can't take you up, and the Lord can't use you, and the Lord can bring you back into that place where he restores unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. Don't let the devil tell you that the Lord can't use you because of your failures. Oh, the Lord was with him, even though at times he failed, and he failed abysmally. And you think of Abram, and Abram, the Lord was with Abram, and it says that we think of those days when Abram and Sarah sought to go ahead of God and to force the issue in bringing forth the seed. You think of the book of Genesis and Jacob, and the Lord was with Jacob, and yet Jacob was a supplanter and a twister. Yes, we're sinners. The wonderful thing is that if we walk with God, if we give our lives into the hands of God, even though we have failed at times, and even though we have done things that are not right at times, the Lord can be with you, and the Lord can be with me in that special way. But what we need to do is to give ourselves into the hands of God. When David failed God, God wasn't with him. The Lord was far off. And maybe God's far off from you, child of God. You've walked in the path of backsliding today. You can't say that the Lord is with you in this special sense that we're thinking of here. But he can be with you. You can get into that place again where you are in fellowship with God and walking with God, and how happy you were when you walked with God, and what a blessing it was when you walked with God. Dear child of God, if you're away from God today, get back to that place where it can be said of you in this way, that the Lord is with you. But not only do I want you to see the context of the Lord's presence, but I want you to see the characteristics of the Lord's presence. What did it mean? We have said that this is a special sense in which the Lord was with David. What does it mean that the Lord was with him? Well, I want you to see that it is indicated in a number of ways. The first thing was fortune. You'll have success. I want you to think about what it meant for David here. We think of how he went out and he fought against Goliath and had success. He had the favor of God. And we think of the mighty things that were done by David in his life. Nobody could face Goliath. But David went out with just a sling. And God was able to use that young man to great success. You think of the many days in the life of David when God used him. And you think of Joseph. You know, it is said of Joseph many times in the book of Genesis that the Lord was with him. If you turn back to Genesis chapter 39 and you look at verses 1 to 3, we read about Joseph there. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph." And what does it say? "And he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." So the fact that the Lord was with him meant prosperity. Now, does that mean health and wealth? Does that mean that he was always healthy, or that he was prosperous, that he became rich? You know, there are a lot of people today, and that's what they teach, that this prosperity is that you're going to be healthy all the time and you're going to be rich. Well, look at Joseph. He was a slave. He was a slave in his master's house. He didn't have anything. His master owned the very clothes that he stood on, and he depended upon his master for the food that he had. It didn't mean that he had wealth in that sense. But the Lord was with him and prospered him in what he did. The Lord was with him and advanced him and made him favorable in the sight of his master. And the Lord was with him in that sense. He had fortune. And also he had favor. We read about David here. It says, and David came to, if you look at verse 21 of 1 Samuel 16, it says, and David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. So there he is, favor. He's winning the hearts of people. Again, we think about Joseph in verse 4 of Genesis 39. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. We read about how at the beginning, in the eyes of Potiphar, he has favor. And here he is, putting everything into this hand. He has favor. We need favor. We need influence. Today, people disregard the church of God. Today, we are given no advantage. But when the Lord is with us in this special sense, we have success and we have favor with those around us. How we need that today. Something else that was clear about David when the Lord was with him. We read about fear. Saul here is not just jealous, but he's actually terrified of David. It says in 1 Samuel 18, verses 6 to 9, and it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all cities of Israel singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and it displeased him that they thought that David slew his 10,000s, and that Saul only slew his thousands. And there was a spirit of jealousy. And Saul began to fear David. He knew that David was the Lord's anointed. Oh, that people around us might know the power of God, that God has come down and anoints his people, anoints his preachers with that power that the world hears what they have to say. Something else that was true, there was fullness of love. There was covenant mercy. In Genesis 39 and 21 it says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. And the word mercy there just means covenant love. God was with Joseph and had brought him into the covenant. And we think of how God was sovereignly looking after his man. And we thank God for the love and the concern and the mercy of God. Something else that was true, fame. Now, there may or may not be fame, but it says in Joshua 6 and 27, so the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. And you think of the great men that God has used in the past, men like Luther and Wesley and Whitfield. These were men that God gave prominence. They had a fame because the Lord was with them. The Lord was with them. And dear friend, we need those in our land, in our world today, whose names will be famed abroad because the Lord's with them. The Lord's there to be their bulwark and to be their God. Oh, dear friend, we need that kind of fame. Not fame for fame's sake, but fame that God is on the move. And then we see faith is a consequence. We have faith in those that the Lord is with. We can trust them. We think of, in Genesis, Joseph, it says, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. So people were able to trust him because the Lord is with him. Is the Lord like that with you and me? We have to say no. Yes, if we're saved, the Lord's with us. And I hope that he's with you in that sense. The Lord's in your heart. But is he with us to give us power and influence Is he there to give us prominence and to prosper us in the work of God? We need the Lord with us in that sense. But one more thing I want you to see. I want you to see the context of the Lord's presence. And we see something here of the characteristics of the Lord's presence. But I want you to see the consequences of the Lord's presence. What did it mean for David that the Lord was with him? Well, one thing was that he had purpose. It meant that he had a purpose for living. David, God was with David to give him purpose. And you think of how Samuel was sent down to the house of Jesse, and David was the youngest of the family, and Jesse sent all of his other sons and almost forgot about David. And we think of how the Lord was there just to bring David out and to give him that purpose. We thank God for the purpose. God had him for a king. God had him, anointed him from all eternity to be the king of the land, to do what he did. And the Lord was with him to bring him to the place that he wanted him to be. And God has a purpose for you and me. In this day it is the salvation of souls. And we think of how in the New Testament, it speaks in the book of Acts, how that a great number of people were saved. And it says in Acts 11 and 21, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. And how Spurgeon said that we'd expect salvations every time we preach. And we think of the reformers, and when they went out, they preached and saw souls saved. And how we need that purpose. God has a purpose for us. He's with us to give us purpose that we might go out and work for him. Not only is there the consequence of purpose, there's the consequence of power. We read in 1 Samuel 16 and 13, then Samuel took an horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. And it says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David. How we need the power of the Holy Ghost. You think of the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And the Lord had said to them, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord was with him to give him power, to give him the strength that he needed to see the work done, to overcome the enemies and the difficulties that were set in the way. I remember Willie Mullen preaching, hearing a tape of him preaching, and he said that the greatest need of the hour for our land was an outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God. And how we need that outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God today. We need the Lord to come down. And we need to go out in the power of God. The Lord says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. But we've got to do that in the power of God. We need the Lord with us. And we think of the disciples. And before this, they had been cowering behind closed doors. And they were fearful and they had forsook the Lord and fled. And yet now here they are, preaching before the very same people, declaring the word of God. What's the difference? The Lord was with them. The Lord was with them. And how we need that today. You think of all that was said of David. Cunning and playing. A man who could play the harp like an agent. A man who was valiant. A man of war. A comely person. A man's man. All of these things. But the most vital thing of all was that the Lord was with him. We pray for men in these days that the Lord is with. As you're looking for a new pastor, pray that God will send you the man of whom it can be said, the Lord's with him. The Lord's with him. And you know, if you have a man that the Lord is with, you will turn this town and this area upside down. But how we need to know that the Lord is with us. not everyone that this is true of. It's not everyone that this can. This is something rare. But it is something that God does in times of danger. And in times when it seems as if the land is turning away, God raises a person of whom it can be said in this special way that the Lord is with them. And we pray with all our hearts and pray, child of God, that the Lord will raise up people of whom it can be said that the Lord is with them. And with all our hearts, let's try and make sure that we are such people that the Lord is with us day by day. As we work, as we witness, as you work and witness here, it will be said of this congregation, these are godly people. These are people that know the Lord. These are people that God is with. And may that be true of us in the incoming days.